Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence so that we can study God's Word together. We do have those who are visiting with us, and we are glad that you are here. We hope that you'll be back every opportunity that you have. Just a few quick things that I wanted to mention. I want to echo Mr. Kenneth's sentiments. Thank you to all the ladies who played a part in making Ladies' Day successful. Also wanted to thank the men who helped in serving, Mr. David Bridges and Brian Hartman. Myself, unfortunately, was one that was in with that, and then also Mr. Mack. And so those guys did a great job, stuck around, helped clean up and put some things away, and so I appreciate that very much. Look forward to that again next year. I'm glad to be back with you this morning. I hated being at home sick last Sunday, and one of the things I hated about it is I had prepared a Mother's Day sermon and wasn't here to preach it. Well, I decided after thinking about it and some kind words from my wife that I prepared one, and so I'm going to preach it today. And so, mothers, you'll get two of those. And hearing her describe Mr. Steve's sermon last week, there might be a little bit of overlap, but as I've told you before, the three keys to learning is repetition, repetition, and repetition. And so we might have a little bit of overlap, but those will be things that we need to hear anyway. I want to begin by saying something I didn't get to say last week. And that's Happy Mother's Day to all of our wonderful mothers here. You know, there's more than just giving birth to being a mother. It's been said that anyone can give birth, but it takes real effort to be a mother. And when I think about this congregation and others like it, you know, I have a lot of mothers. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those who, although they did not give birth to me, treat me like one of their children, kind and loving to me. And that means so much to me. I may be a little late with the following advice, but maybe it'll help our men for years to come. I ran across this entitled, What Not to Buy Your Wife for Mother's Day. The guy said, although the only person a man usually shops for is his wife, the whole experience is a stressful one. Many a man has felt extreme frigid temperatures for a long period based on a poor present decision. As a veteran of these wars, the guy who wrote this, not me, I'm still not sure what to buy my wife, but I'll pass on what not to buy her. Number one, don't buy anything that plugs in. That's enough said on that one. Number two, don't buy clothing that involves sizes. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right, and your wife will be offended the other 6,999 times. Do I look like a size 16, she'll say. Too small a size doesn't cut it either. I haven't worn a size 8 in 20 years. Number three, avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win you any brownie points. Number four, do not buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a 6-month membership to a diet center as a suggestion that she's overweight. Number five, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she does not want. And then number six, finally, don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that, she'll ask. But don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, is that all I'm worth? And so while those might not have helped you this year, hopefully those can help you in years to come. In 1907, a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia started the campaign to honor mothers 2 years after her own mother had passed away. In 1910, West Virginia became the first state to recognize a day to honor mothers. A year later, nearly every state in the Union had officially marked that day. And then in 1914, just 7 years after this woman began this campaign, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day a national holiday for the second Sunday of May. Anna Jarvis's accomplishments, though, became a bitter disappointment to her. She became enraged by the commercialization of Mother's Day. She actually filed a lawsuit to stop a Mother's Day celebration in 1923, and she was even arrested for disturbing the peace at a Mother's War convention where white carnations were being sold to raise money. Her complaint was, I wanted it to be a day of sentiment not prophets. You know, most mothers today are happy to receive flowers, cards, and other expressions of thanks. But mothers deserve more, especially when we look at it from a biblical perspective. It has been said to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. Those who have been mothers to us, what do they deserve? Six things that I want us to notice together this morning. Number one, godly mothers deserve obedience. Godly mothers deserve obedience. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The sister passage to that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." It's important that as children we understand the concept of obeying our parents. As parents, it's our responsibility to instill that concept into our children. But it is just as important as children, and even as we get older, to recognize that responsibility. This is something that godly mothers deserve. They deserve our obedience. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Jesus, our ultimate example, we see him doing just this. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, you recall that after he had stayed behind in Jerusalem, they found him there in the temple speaking with the scribes. And they leave finally. And in verse 51, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth." And notice this, "and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." Jesus, our ultimate example, was subject to his parents. In other words, he was obedient to his parents. As you think about things that your mother deserves, whether you still live in the house or whether you've grown up and have your own household, one of the things a godly mother deserves, number one this morning, is she deserves obedience. Number two, she also deserves respect. Godly mothers deserve respect. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul wrote, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." I don't know how many times you've read that verse and how many times you've thought about that verse, but have you ever thought about the tail end of that verse, that statement, which is the first commandment with promise? I think so oftentimes we read over that and maybe we've never even thought, what's he talking about? Well, if you notice in most Bibles, the beginning of that statement is in italics. That means it is a quote from the Old Testament. Well, if we go back into the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 20, we have the giving of the Ten Commandments. And as you begin reading in Exodus chapter 20 and read the commandments, we have just statements that are made. But you get to this commandment, to honor your father and your mother, in verse 12. And indeed, there is a promise attached to that commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." What did Paul mean? He meant exactly what he said. As you read through those Ten Commandments, this is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. That if you'll honor your father and mother, and which part of honoring your parents is obeying your parents, God says it should lengthen your days. You think about that in a very logical sense, and doesn't that make perfect sense? A godly mother, she's not going to tell her child to do anything that would harm that child. And on the flip side of that, a godly mother is not going to forbid anything from her child that will help that child. Indeed, by honoring our father and our mother, it can prolong our days. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, the wise man wrote, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." There's an old Chinese proverb which says, "Respect for one's parents is the highest duty of civil life." And indeed, if we are going to give our mothers what they deserve, a second thing that they deserve, and coupled with our obedience, is number two, our respect. Number three, godly mothers deserve affection. Godly mothers deserve affection. We need to show our mothers love. We can never repay all that they do. I mean, if you sat down, I came across a slide that listed all the things that a mother is expected to take care of. It's a lot. And so many mothers do those things without complaining, without ever saying a word. Friends, they deserve our love. When I think about showing godly mothers affection or love, I think of the perfect example of Jesus. In John chapter 19, Jesus is on the cross. He's in agony, friends. And beginning in verse 25, we read, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Jesus, in utter anguish, still is thinking about his mother. And in these moments, he wants to make sure that his mother is going to be taken care of. We see the love that Jesus had for Mary. And he makes sure that John is going to take care of her once he is gone. Children, tell your mother that you love her. There are a lot of women in this auditorium this morning that would love that opportunity. And I know that you would. If you still have that opportunity, take it. Even those who maybe are not your blood mother, but who has served as a mother for you, let them know how much that meant to you. Make sure to always let them know how much you love them. Godly mothers deserve our obedience and respect. They deserve affection. Then finally, number four, godly mothers deserve wisdom. Now, I'm not talking about giving them your wisdom here, but using the wisdom that they have sought to give you. In Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Proverbs 17:25, a similar passage, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." A godly mother is going to strive to teach her children godly things. And friends, that wisdom will go a long way in helping us to live the right kind of life, but only if we put that wisdom to use. And godly mothers deserve to see us using that advice that they have given us in the proper way. You know, in Luke 2:52, we read about Jesus that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And I have no doubt in a large portion of why that happened was because of the influence of Mary, his mother. No doubt Joseph played his role as well. But Jesus grew because of the love of his parents. Godly mothers deserve to see us using the wisdom that they have sought to give us to live the right kind of life. And keeping in that thought, we have the fifth thing that we owe our mothers. And that is, godly mothers deserve righteousness. Godly mothers deserve righteousness. They deserve children who are seeking to live a faithful Christian life. I've talked to too many parents who are saddened in their hearts to have children that are unfaithful, who have sought to teach their children the right way to live, who have prayed with tears for them, only for them to live unfaithfully. Godly mothers deserve us living a righteous life. There's probably no greater joy to a Christian mother than to know that her children are faithful to God. There's probably no greater joy to see that child become a Christian and to know that that child is living faithfully. And as children, our mothers deserve that from us. In Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Indeed, if we're going to give godly mothers what they deserve and what they long for, friends, we need to live a faithful life. That brings us to our sixth and final point. And that is the fact that godly mothers deserve our care. They deserve our care. Our mothers, especially those who are widowed, deserve our care. You know, just because we grow up and we move out of the house does not absolve us of the responsibility that we have as children to our parents. We have a responsibility to help to care for them. 1 Timothy 5:4, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God." Paul, by inspiration, says, take care of your parents. They took care of you. You return the favor. 1 Timothy 5:8 talks about the fact that if anyone does not provide for his own, then he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In James 1:27, we see that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So many verses talk about the fact that we have a responsibility to those who have cared for us. You know the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And friends, there is probably no greater influence in the life of a child than that of a godly mother. If you had a godly mother, whether that be the mother who bore you or someone else who filled that role, be thankful for them. Show them obedience and respect, affection. Use the wisdom that they gave to you. Live a righteous life before them. And when the time comes, make sure to care for them. We have many godly mothers in this audience, and I'm thankful for you. You show us a picture of the love of God by the life that you live. And aren't we thankful for God's love? A love that was so great that He willingly sent His Son for us. A love by His Son that was so great that He willingly gave His life so that we might have salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we hope you'll think seriously about the condition of your soul. That you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That you'll turn from sin and repentance. That you'll confess that belief in Him and that you'll be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've done those things, but you've drifted away from Him. Friend, come back home to Him. We have a God who stands with open arms, ready for a child who has gone away to come back home. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd invite you to come right now as together we stand and sing.